This is our first guest Ooh. In the neighborhood. His name is Ellis Nasur. UNC Radio, the Total Theater Tony Show with me, Dave Lefkowitz, my wife Joyce, and on the telephone with us is... Hello?
Hello. It's Ellis Nasur.
It is, of course, Ellis Nasur. He is a writer. He writes for BroadwayStars.com. He's also the author of the book Honky Tonk Angel about the life of... oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
Patsy Cline.
Yeah, I think that sometimes too. Patsy Cline.
Patsy Cline, of course, that was adapted into a musical that you did about her, and you do a whole bunch of stuff for Broadway. You'll be at the Tonys tomorrow night, and we're going to have you back on the show right now to talk about a Broadway category. But how are you doing, Ellis?
Doing well, and yourself? How are things in Colorado?
Well, it's funny. We got a tweet from my aunt this morning. Was it a tweet or was it an email? It was a text from my aunt because she was so worried seeing on the news that Colorado got rain and tornadoes and hail and snow.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah, well, not where we are. Where we are, it's just got rain. What we thought was a tornado was actually just a cloud of marijuana smoke.
You get that too out there now, right?
Coming from our legal pastime. I think New York is going to get one medicinal place. I just read that. Is that true?
I don't know.
Well,
it's not an area that I look into very often.
Well, what area?
Somehow I passed all that by, or it all passed me by. I don't know what happened.
You made it through the 60s without that.
Made it through the 60s.
But you couldn't have done it.
The only thing that happened to me is when I went to, after I left the newspaper and started working for a movie company, since I was single, had an apartment. Everybody wanted to borrow my apartment right after work, and I said, no, this is not going to become a real-life version of the movie The Apartment.
Oh, man. And you still live in New York City.
In the same apartment.
Hang on to it, man. Hang on.
They have a contract out on my life to get me out of here.
Oh, man. Well, yes, but you could never leave New York because that's where the theater is. That's where Broadway is. That's where what we love is. Do you remember the first Broadway show you ever saw, Ellis?
Yeah, sure do. It's very interesting. Let's see. I'm trying to remember what it was called, though. It was the musical version of The Princess and the Pea.
It was on Once Upon a Mattress.
It was on 2nd Avenue at the old Yiddish Theater that's now been turned into a movie complex. And then eventually it did come to Broadway with Sarah Jane Parker.
Yeah, well, it was Once Upon a Mattress. It was Carol Burnett.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
I know you. I have mine blanks, too. Once Upon a Mattress, yes.
Sarah Jessica Parker was a fabulous
set design for that because they actually had all those mattresses on the stage.
Hey, speaking of set design, Ellis Nasur, so glad that you mentioned that. That is the category. See, we're going to have people calling in and also pre-recording interviews and lots of fun stuff to talk about the different Tony nominee categories of tomorrow night's Tony Awards. And Ellis has chosen to talk about set design of a musical because you feel very strongly about this category and something that was actually left out of this category.
Well, actually, there were a couple of good ones that were left out.
Okay.
But to me, the most egregious omission is the fact that in a category where the nominators can easily add an extra spot, they didn't nominate Finding Neverland. And I know that the reviews for the show have been mixed, but to be honest with you, I saw the show twice. I don't know why they're mixed. It takes about 20 to 25 minutes for the show to get started. Mm-hmm. But once it gets started, it's like a train going through the station and on the 20th century. It never stops. And Morrison is excellent.
Morrison from Glee.
Mm-hmm. Kelsey Grammer is excellent.
Okay.
Everything about it. And they have four or five incredible featured performers in that show that you wouldn't expect to be nominated, but that resonate with the audience.
In
a huge theater, the L'Enfantine, mm-hmm. the show is selling. It's been a hit since the first preview, and it had been completely snubbed by the Tony Awards, completely snubbed. The Drama Desk at least nominated it in three categories, a surprising three categories, but at least it was nominated.
Well, can I ask you, Ellis?
You know how I am when I get started.
Oh, yeah. I want you to...
Go ahead, please.
No, I totally want you to keep going, but also I want to direct the conversation. I want to ask, believe that the snub is due to the producer, Harvey Weinstein, who is not particularly loved, apparently, on Broadway, who muscled his way...
I don't know about that.
Okay.
You know,
What?
I've talked to a lot of people about that. Now, Harvey is an acquired taste to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But in my capacity through the years, he's always been very polite to me. I mean, he doesn't know me from Adam, but when I say hello to him, he always stops to chat and say, who are you? What do you do? I find him to be very personable, and I think he's extraordinarily successful.
Oh, yeah.
And I have heard about chat rooms, which I don't go to, that is the reason. But do you remember when Disney came to Broadway, how everyone hated Disney? They don't like the new kid on the block because they are not traditional producers. However, in the case of Finding Neverland, I don't think it's so much Harvey. Now, Harvey made a lot of blunders, that's for sure, and he admitted it. He said, I'm a baby at this. I think maybe he used the word novice.
Well, wait, what blunder did he make? What did he do wrong? I mean, he's making...
Beginning. I mean, you know, the show... I think this all started last year on the Tony Awards when there was a sneak preview of Finding Neverland. And, of course, you know, they pay $25,000 for these spots. None of these shows get free production numbers. You know, they have to pay, and then they also have to pay to bring the sets in and take the sets out very quickly. So he presented a sneak preview. Now, of course, since that time, the show was completely rewritten. But going back to I think that it's Madison Square Garden and Jim Dolan that maybe is a reason they don't like it. Now, Madison Square Garden has the theater at the Garden. They have no fly space, so it's very limited to what can go in there. But usually after a Christmas or a holiday, something plays Broadway that comes back to the theater at the Garden the following year. Why would you not like a new producer or producers? Because they're bringing some new life to Broadway. And this is a traditional show. There's nothing about it that's crazy or you have to, you know, walk through sand and water to get to the stage and to your seat. They didn't take all the seats out of the theater so you could... You know, and there's very little flying. It's a very charming story. Show is much too long, in my opinion. But Scott Pask, who has been nominated for God knows how many Tonys and Drama Desk Awards, and let's see... I'm going to get a little help from the computer here.
Well, other things that...
Listen to the shows that he's been nominated for, and I'll just say winner.
Okay.
Book of Mormon, winner. Oh, wait a minute. Let me start at the top.
Sure.
Visit. He's nominated for The Visit for a Drama Desk. Pippin, nominated for a Tony. Book of Mormon, Tony Award, which he won. Pal Juliet, nominated for a Tony Award. 9 to 5, nominated by the Drama Desk. Hair, nominated by the Drama Desk. Tony Award for Les Liaisons Dangerous, which he was nominated for. He won it for the Drama Desk. Coast of Utopia Part 1 and 2, he won Tonys for both. He was also, he actually won for, all three parts. He won for all three parts, and he also won for all three parts with the Drama Desk.
So wait a minute, you know what, Ellis, maybe there was also the sense of, well, Scott Pask has been nominated and won so often, let's give some other people a chance. Maybe that's the reason at least this show wasn't nominated for set design. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, you can say that, but then you see that you see in this category here. Now, what did I just lose it? No, here it is. Here, the nominees: Bob Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
He's won a lot of Tony Awards.
That's fair.
A lot more than Scott, and yet he's nominated along with two other people. You know, who I guess were working with him because there are lots of different elements to the scene design of An American in Paris. Well-deserved nomination.
Mm-hmm.
David Rockwell. Oh, my God, you know. Are you saying that he just fell off the turnip truck? Now, here's a guy I never heard of, but I'm sure he's been around for a while because he probably worked on the Light in the Piazza in South Pacific, but his name is Michael Jurgan. He's nominated for The King and I. A beautiful production, but except for the ship that comes out and almost nips your nose, most of the staging is done by curtains in vast space.
True.
Then you've got a nomination for David Zim, a man I've never heard of, who probably has worked a lot off Broadway, and I'm happy that I'm going to go see where it says more information. He's nominated for Fun Home.
Right.
Now, did you see Fun Home off Broadway?
Unfortunately, no. Nor did I see it on Broadway.
It was done at the Public on a vast stage with a curtain backdrop or a bare wall and three or four coffins. And every once in a while, they would roll out some furniture to give the impression of the living room. Now, how does a set like that
become you know, a Tony nominee as opposed to other things.
The staging for Finding Neverland is magical. And Scott pulled out all the stops. I think it's one of the most beautiful productions he's ever done.
And
the finale of the show is breathtaking.
Oh, wow. Unfortunately, I have not seen Finding Neverland, a show that I did see and I didn't particularly like, but I would have accepted a set design nomination for, would have been Hand to God. Because if you figure, the set design gets the biggest laugh in the entire show.
Absolutely.
I think
and there are a few other examples, too, that, you know, shows that actually were quite good, had great set design. I was in the play category. There were several worthy people. David Rockwell, again, I guess this is his year. He's been nominated twice. So there you go. You throw that theory out the window. Hmm. And then Christopher Roram, who, you know, English guy, but he did Wolf Hall. And Wolf Hall, where's the set design in Wolf Hall?
Well, there's a lot of lagging and bars and roll it on, roll it off. Yeah.
It's a different category. Bob Crowley nominated again for Skylight. Now, Skylight is a great play and a fantastic revival with... Hmm. Three pros in the cast. Well, it's a three-person cast. But it's a cluttered apartment with a sink that doesn't always work and a refrigerator whose light doesn't always go on. Okay, how many times have cluttered sets been nominated?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the winner in the play category has got to be The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. I mean, those two, Bunny Christie and Finn Ross, got to have those two names as winners. They will certainly deserve taking the Tony home to England because they did a magnificent job. That is magical theater from start to finish.
Now let me ask you, Ellis Nassar, before I've got to let you go, you've been to a bunch of Tonys live and in person. You don't just watch them on TV. You get to go. So do you have any...
Many, many years ago when I began writing for Playbill, I found out that you could be a seat filler. So that's how I kind of started going to the Tonys. And then, thanks to Judy Samuelson, I began writing for the Tony Playbill. Mm-hmm. And then you and I worked on a few things together when you were at Playbill. So, yeah, I've been very blessed that I've been invited to the press room. I've been invited to be a stage, you know, like a seat filler or stand in the back or seat in the top of the balcony.
Well, do you have any...
This year, at least go to the dress rehearsal and then go to the press room.
Well, my question is, do you have any great memories of either last year or the past couple of years, maybe something from the Tony Awards themselves or something that you saw that we wouldn't have seen on TV?
Well, one of my favorite memories, all the best memories of any Tony telecast are what goes on while the commercials are on. And depending on your host, it can get pretty raunchy. If ever somebody happens to have an open mic, that's dangerous. But my favorite memory of the Tonys in recent years was when Rosie O'Donnell hosted the show, and they decided that Rosie should be in a gown as opposed to her traditional pantsuit.
Okay.
Now, Rosie's a very smart lady, and when she looked into the mirror, she should have said, "No, no, Nanette." She looked awful in that outfit. I'm not going to say anymore. She should never have. She should have said, "Get me my pantsuit, please."
Oh my God!
And Rosie was pretty dangerous during the commercial breaks because she was having a problem with the Zeislers at that time, the producers, and she was giving them a pretty hard time during the commercials. But then everybody's always giving them a hard time. And yet they're vastly successful. If it wasn't for the Zeislers, you know. Excuse me, I'm saying Zeislers because I'm from Vienna.
Oh, the Weisslers, of course, yeah. I should have caught that. Yeah, the Weisslers. Okay, let me...
David, don't ever get old.
It happens to all of us. Although the Tonys keep us forever young, Broadway and theater does. We have Ellis Nassar on the phone. I was going to let you go, but it occurred to me that the next segment that we're going to do is just a couple of quick Broadway trivia questions. We're going to do them all throughout the show. And I think it'll be more fun if you hang with us for like another couple of minutes, and I'll ask you the trivia question.
Only for you, kid. You know, we go back a long ways, and I'm happy to do anything I can to help. How's the show going today? Because you're on awfully early. Do the theater goers out there, this is nationwide or this is regional?
Well, no, it's everywhere. I mean, we're on the interwebs.
You're international.
Yeah. Well, they can listen to us in Indonesia.
I bet they're all huddled around the radio in Dubai listening to this telecast.
Perhaps not Dubai. Israel, maybe, but I wouldn't necessarily
say
Dubai.
They love theater in Dubai. And what people tend to forget that and the population of the UAE is only about a third Arab. The rest is totally international from just about every country you can imagine.
Oh.
They either work in banking or in oil.
Okay, well, Dubai, old friend. Sorry about that. Now, are you ready to play just two questions of Broadway trivia?
Let's see how good I am.
Now, what I want you to do, though, is do it yourself quietly so that the folks at home first can also have a chance at answering the question themselves.
So in other words, don't answer the question at first. Don't answer it right away.
Right. Give people a chance, because you'll probably know these a lot more than other folks. This is a little brain tickler for this season, okay?
Uh-huh.
Four Broadway shows this year had animals in their titles. Name three of them, and I'll give you like 15, 20 seconds. So use your brain. No fair looking at the computer. Four shows with animals in the titles. And go, and then I'll tell you when you can, see if you can answer. Here on the Togo Theater, Tony Show. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, Ellis Nasur, four Broadway shows this year had animals in their titles. Can you name three of them?
Well, we've got The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night, and we've definitely got Wolf Hall, right? Wolf Hall?
Wolf Hall, very good, yeah.
Let's see now. We got to go for a third one, though, right?
Right.
That's going to be a little tough. Let's see. I am cheating, by the way, at this point.
Oh, you are looking at them. Okay, fair enough.
No, I'm not coming up with the third one, and you say there are four.
Yep, there are two more. Let me see.
There are two more.
One of them is...
Not yet. Let's see.
Okay.
Stu in the name. There certainly doesn't seem to be anything nominated that's all I can give you, I'm afraid.
Actually, I think one of them is Tony nominated. Let me make sure. Yes, one is actually multi.
The Curious Dog is nominated.
Yep, yep. But another one, a revival, there's a hint, is nominated for four different Tony Awards.
Gigi.
I would say Vanessa Hudgens is kind of a fox, but that doesn't count.
She can't act, sorry to say.
Ooh.
Nominated, though. Let's see, in the nominated category. Elephant Man.
Elephant Man, of course.
I can come up with. I'll have to cheat to find the fourth one. You say there are five, though.
No, four. There are four, so you've got three out of four. The fourth one is a new play.
A new play in the room. Oh, a new play. Okay.
Yep. And it was not nominated.
It was not nominated.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to have to cave in and say I don't win.
Well, no, you got three out of four. You definitely won. The other one is the Larry David comedy Fish in the Dark.
I don't think of fish
as an animal.
I'm sorry. Vegetarians would disagree with you.
It's
there.
A pescatarian thing. Okay, we got one more question.
What is the prize, and how many of your listeners won?
It's just for fun. Nobody's winning anything. There's no budget for this.
If you have a winner that got all of them, when they come to New York, they can come to my roof garden and have a glass of wine.
Are you offering? Okay, we'll do that. Okay, here we go. You might like this one. This is called...
Another one. Okay, let's see.
One more question for you. This is called Hunky Dory, all right? Matinee idols and hunks were prominent on Broadway this year, though not always nominated. I will name the hunk, you name the show. And Ellis, don't give like 5 seconds or so before you answer.
I did good before, right?
You were great. I'm saying do this again so that people at home can answer, and then, kind of like the Jeopardy thing. Ready?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper. 3, 2, 1. What was Bradley Cooper in?
Answer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Elephant Man.
That's correct. He was the Elephant Man, a role that was very, very important to him. I mean, that's one of the things that made him...
Very important to him,
...become an actor. Huge...
He did an incredible job. Just how he managed to keep his hands and feet the way he did without any devices or artifices amazed me. And I was kind of worried, since he was doing it 8 times a week, that he was going to have some problems. But he informed me that it's part of a gym exercise he learned, and that he felt very comfortable in that position.
Wow.
So there you go.
Good to know. Well, another hunk who was on Broadway this year, his name, he's been on Broadway several times, His name is Hugh Jackman. Okay. Give it a moment. Give it a moment.
I knew that's who you were going to... Okay. Uh-huh.
So what play was Hugh Jackman in on Broadway this year? Ellis, you can answer.
It was a murder mystery thriller. Uh-huh. A murder mystery thriller that no one understood called The River.
That's right, a play by Jez Butterworth. I didn't realize that somebody...
Fish out of water.
Yeah, they should go together.
The exciting moment in that show was when he gutted a fish, and four times he cut himself and had to go out and get it wrapped up, but he kept right on with the show.
Oh, dear.
In fact, when he went off stage to get his hand wrapped, he continued the dialogue. If you read the script, the play makes sense. The staging just for some reason escaped people, but he was the reason that people went. However, this is a little trivia for you.
Ooh.
After all the Hugh Jackman fans came to see the show, because he committed to being on Broadway for so long, the theater was only half full for the last month and a half.
Hmm.
And there were always more people outside waiting for an autograph than there were inside.
Well, you know, as big a star and, you know, a matinee idol as he is, there's a point at which a play that nobody wants to see. It's like even right now on Broadway, they've got It's Only a Play, which I thought was really, really funny. And they had Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick together again from the producers. And this thing was selling like hotcakes when it opened. Then Lane had to step out and do some other things. He did.
I know that McNally would have never rewritten it and would never have attempted to bring it back if it wasn't for Nathan Lane. And then, oddly enough, guess who didn't get nominated? And I deserve the nomination because he is hilarious.
Yeah, he's spectacularly funny. But what I'm saying is, he went away. Martin Short came in the show for a few weeks, and then he came back. He and Matthew Broderick are back on Broadway together again in a very funny show that was selling out when they were both first in it. Now
it's selling out again.
No. I mean, check the grosses. Check the things.
Well, is it still open? I think it just closed, right?
Or it closed last week, or is closing this week. But I'm saying
I thought it was still doing well when he came back. I thought it was doing well again when he came back.
Better. It was doing better, but it wasn't selling tickets out the door.
You know what? I really wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you mention?
Uh-oh.
Who took the part over?
Martin Short. Oh, I would have loved to have
really
seen Martin Short.
To see Martin Short, because I think he's a comic genius, and they didn't re-invite us. And at one point, there were $33 tickets out, and I almost bought one, and then something else came up.
Since we're talking about Martin...
One of the estimated plays this year was the one that actually won the Pulitzer Prize. It didn't do much business on Broadway, and that was Disgraced.
Yeah, a serious play by Ayad Akhtar.
Very it's serious play, and quite different from anything he's written.
Hmm. I don't know his other work. And I did see Disgraced. I thought it was a good, watchable piece. I wasn't in love with it. I don't feel like it should have won the Pulitzer.
You usually come in twice a year, three times a year to see shows?
Mm-hmm. Two or three times a year. I try and get to New York, see as much as I can, but I can't see everything. So,
well, you're certainly invited to come over for wine the next time you're in town.
Well, thank you, Ellis. Now, Ellis, we talked about Martin Short and me, who are both, you know, great matinee idol hunks.
Especially you.
Why, thank you. So, let's have another one. Jake Gyllenhaal was on Broadway this year. What was he in? Give it a couple of seconds.
Me or them?
You, before you answer.
Okay,
Ellis, what play was Jake Gyllenhaal in on Broadway this season?
Another one that people didn't quite get, had no intermission, and it still didn't stop people from crawling over each other to get out of the theater, called Constellations.
Actually, some people loved it. I wish I had seen it.
Some people loved it, and I think they didn't love the play. They loved the performances.
Mm.
But when you have one person at stage left and one person at stage right, and they're just kind of like throwing lines at each other, there isn't a lot of chemistry there.
Well, that may have been a problem also with the revival of Love Letters that, you know, nobody really came to.
And you know what was fascinating about that?
What?
The names that they were bringing back, including Dame Diana Rigg,
right,
Carol Burnett. I would have thought that it was going to be, I thought that it would be a hit. It was in a nice-sized theater that didn't need to, didn't need to go crazy. I mean, it was a mid-sized house, so they could survive with decent audiences, but there was just no interest in it.
Well, what happened, actually... It sold better when Carol Burnett was in there. The box office picked up, but they started with, I think, Mia Farrow and that wonderful actor, Brian Dennehy. But nobody cared.
Brian was in it in the opening, too, I believe. Opened it, and then yes.
So I'm saying that didn't sell.
The reason they cast Mia Farrow because of the recent headlines, but I think a lot of those recent headlines have backfired against her.
Yeah.
She's pulled some, I don't know about her mindset, but she certainly pulled some dirty pool over the past few years. I'm not saying Woody Allen's an angel by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, would you let him babysit?
I mean, three decades now, she's just out to get him any way she can.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that publicity was negative for both of them when that was happening, and that certainly didn't help sell tickets for the first.
Publicity like that can help a show.
And speaking of Woody Allen, since we're talking about hunks, let's have our last hunk in this trivia question. You've been getting them all, Ellis, so I'm going to give you one more. This may be the toughest one for the folks at home.
I want your listeners to know the only reason I'm getting them is because this is what we do for a living, right?
Well, yeah. What, meaning talk about Broadway?
I couldn't answer a lot of trivia that they throw at us.
Oh, absolutely not. No, I have the answers in front of me. It's easy for me. I wrote them. Okay, you ready? You ready? Also on Broadway this year, from across the pond, a fellow named Ewan McGregor.
Could you repeat the question? I'm not sure I got the first part of the answer.
Oh, well, the hunk, the matinee idol, as it were, who was on Broadway this year in a show, his name is Ewan McGregor. What was the name of the show that he was in?
Okay.
Okay, Ellis, you can answer.
I'm just trying to remember myself what it was.
Ah.
It opened and closed very quickly for some reason.
Did
it open and close
no.
very quickly?
No. No, it ran its allotted time. Okay, whoa, I stumped Ellis. I stumped Ellis Nassour.
I didn't go see it, obviously.
Oh, maybe you did. Maybe this was the revival of the real...
I know that it was a revival. Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Let me think for a minute.
Okay. It was a... This is Our Youth.
He wouldn't have been in that.
Nope. No, this is a revival.
No, I'm gonna cave in on this one and say I just don't know.
Well, there were two other big stars in this show.
Oh, it was the revival of... just a second here. Let me think for a second.
Okay.
Was Glenn Close in the original?
Okay, you're thinking of a different show. You're thinking of A Delicate Balance, which Glenn Close...
No, I'm not thinking of A Delicate Balance. I'm thinking of a show that she did maybe...
Oh, you're right. So what's the name of the show, Ellis?
Well, that's the problem. I'm not coming... The Real Thing.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that actually did have a decent run.
Yep.
It ran for, I guess, almost 6 months, right?
Oh, well, at least 3 or 4 months. It wasn't like a roundabout thing, so they have their regularly scheduled run. And if it's really popular, they extend, and if it isn't, they close. But it's not like it closed in a week or two. It was there for 2 or 3 months with Ewan McGregor, also Cynthia Nixon, and making her Broadway debut. Who is it? You know, I'm asking you, Ellis.
You're asking me.
Thinking Cap. Who made her Broadway debut? Very sexy actress. She's done...
She's been around forever.
ooh, okay. Well, this is not a very, very young woman either. She's just done a lot of off-Broadway.
She's done
and
a
movies.
Lot of off-Broadway.
Yeah.
The real thing.
Maggie?
Was it Jake's sister, Maggie
yep.
Gyllenhaal?
Maggie Gyllenhaal, exactly. Very good.
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Maggie Gyllenhaal starred opposite...
McGregor.
Yeah. Well, Ellis...
You know, I was right. I didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't miss anything. It was a lousy, lousy revival for some reason.
I think that's the reason we're supposed to see everything we're invited to.
I know.
But I may, let me see something here.
Sure.
I'm gonna cheat and go to the computer for a second. Let me go to Broadway.com.
Okay.
I see it opened in October of last year, and I was working overseas, so when I came back, they weren't, I think maybe, no, it was still running when I got back, but as a rule, after a show's been up, they don't invite us. You know, even though you can beg and plead, they won't invite you back. They won't invite you again. Once you miss the media dates, that's it.
It depends on how the show is and which press agent you're dealing with. Some are a lot friendlier and kinder than others. A lot of them, it's the producers that are making the call. So
I would like them to invite. I think it's much too late because the fish in the water, fish in the dark, has already been nominated, or not nominated. But yeah. I would love to see Jason Alexander, and it's great to have him back on Broadway.
Oh, absolutely. And it is great to have Ellis Nasour back in the neighborhood, back doing our Tony show. You are definitely invited back next year to do more of the fun stuff that we do. I wish you a wonderful time.
You're that desperate, right?
Yeah, you can see our phone is ringing off the hook with other phones. No, but
it's been a pleasure to have my work on your Total Post website, your Total Theater website.
Thank you. Thank you.
We were quite a pair working together all those years trying to get news exposés at Playbill.
Uh-huh.
I thank you for inviting me to be with you today, and all the very best to you and your family.
Health and success and lots of theater to you, Ellis Nasour. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Take care.